Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, and you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our good buddy Ken Davis back on the show. Kenneth C. Davis is the name of the book. The books, actually, I should say, because there are more than one of them. There are many of them. Don't Know Much About History is one book. Don't Know Much About Mythology is another one. And on, something under 1,000 books that have sold something under 1 billion copies galactically. And he's one of the resident historians of the Brain Trust. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, sir. Always a pleasure to be with you. Top 100 broadcasters. Come on, you're in my top 10. How's that for shameless?
I appreciate that very much, and I completely agree with you.
Good morning and happy holidays. It's always a pleasure to you.
You too. No false modesty here. Hey, Ken, it's good to have you here. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Speaking of which, do you think Christmas, and folks, Ken's here to talk to us about a little bit about the history of Christmas. Do you think Christmas is being challenged? Do you think the concept of Christmas, the idea of Christmas, is receiving some pressure to minimize it? You think that's going on?
You're referring, of course, to the so-called war on Christmas that gets trotted out.
Some people use that term.
I intentionally didn't
use the word war, but go ahead.
No, it's out there. It's being used. It's thrown around all the time, and I personally think it's nonsense. It's good for, you know, ratings for some of the broadcasters, and I'm sure there are people who use it for fundraising techniques to fire up their faithful. Look, I remember being in church in the early 60s, and the minister would be in the pulpit decrying the commercialization of Christmas. And, you know, here we are nearly 50 years later, and it's the same song is still being sung.
Right.
I can go back and show you, you know, it's even part of the miracle on 34th Street that people have always thought that they're sort of perfect notion of Christmas has been under assault. Look, we live in a much more diverse, multicultural America today than we did 50 years ago. There are people who don't celebrate Christmas.
Right.
There are other holidays at this time of year. But there's no question in my mind, if you just walk around the streets of the city of New York, where I am, that Christmas is alive and well. They don't call it the Rockefeller holiday tree. They call it the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree.
Well, and they should do that. And that's the thing.
And it is. And I think that people are much more forgiving and open and generous. Look, it is a holiday time for many holidays, and that's one of the reasons that Christmas is celebrated at this time of year. It goes back, and we can talk about that. The fact that there is Hanukkah and this Kwanzaa has been created, and there are other even Hindu and Muslim Islamic holidays around this time of year, it all relates back to something very simple that happened on Monday, and that's the sun standing still in the sky, or the winter solstice.
Right.
This, throughout history, has been a time when people recognized that the light was coming back into the world, and that's one of the reasons that Christmas is on December 25th.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And well, you know, the thing is we send out holiday greeting communications. This year, the last several years, it's been a letter that we send out telling people, you know, about some of the things that, well, just it's just a letter. It's not a card anymore. But we do say, you know, holiday greetings, that kind of thing. because it's a card that's used for everybody, and we recognize that as you said, everybody doesn't celebrate Christmas, and we're being sensitive to that. I tell my Jewish friends Happy Hanukkah, and they turn right around and say Merry Christmas to you, Jim.
Well, of course, look, the idea is peace on earth, goodwill towards all men,
exactly.
And somehow that got lost in this screeching about war and Christmas, because absolutely there are cases. Scattered cases around the country where people complain about too much Christmas in a public school,
right.
Or not putting up a manger scene on public property, but not putting up other things. Nobody says you can't put up a manger. The courts have been very clear on this.
Right.
What they say is you can't single out a manger and have
right.
only that. So if
yeah.
there's going to be a manger, that can also be a menorah. And if somebody says, "Well, I want to put up
a
Pentateuch,"
you know what, Ken?
That's the First Amendment. It guarantees everyone's right.
The one thing that I wish we could all get a healthy dose of, every one of us, is something that this whole season is really all about to me as a Christian, and that's tolerance.
Tolerance.
If we could, if
humor.
I could, if we I could
all,
open up,
all three of them go a long way.
If I could open up a huge can of tolerance and pour it on the world, I'd try to do that right now. And I'd pour it on me first. 20 till right back after these messages. Ken Davis is our guest. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure as always. Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Hanukkah is over, so I'm not saying that anymore, but I did. Merry Christmas to all of you who, like me, celebrate Christmas, and like our good friend who's with us right now, Ken Davis. He does that. He's a Christian, and Ken is the author of all the books on Don't Know Much About. He actually does know a lot about him, but he plays that game because that's part of the allure, and he's written a bunch of these books on history and different things. The new book is called America's Hidden History, which maybe is best, and I encourage you to check these out wherever books are sold. And the children's book, thank you for the Pilgrim's book, Ken. You sent me a Pilgrim's book for my grandchildren. I appreciate that.
We talked about that at Thanksgiving time,
yeah.
But I'll just throw this out, segue into it. We were talking about the war on Christmas. The only time there was actually a legal ban on Christmas in America, it did happen once. Christmas was actually outlawed in America
wow.
at one time. And it was by not the Pilgrims, but their successors, the Puritans.
The Puritans,
who came to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Christmas was outlawed in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Any public display of Christmas for about 20 years from the 1650s
really?
Forward, yes. And this was the same, done the same in Puritan England under Cromwell, the Lord Protector.
And the reason was because it was...
The reason was twofold. First of all, they understood, the Puritans understood, that all of this feasting and merriment and jollity at Christmas time was very pagan and
mm-hmm.
came from a lot of pagan sources, and I'll quickly talk about that.
And they were correct in that area, weren't they?
Oh, they're completely correct
yeah.
about that. The mistletoe, the holly, all of it is pagan. They also thought that Christmas was artificial, that it was an artificial date, and they were right about that.
And they were right about that, too. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Christians, we on the 25th, we celebrate the birth of Christ. But, I mean, I don't say, most of us don't say we celebrate it as the day Christ was born.
That's absolutely right. The date, and I think I alluded to this earlier, the date was really chosen in about the year 400 by a pope. It had been the celebration of the winter solstice in
mm-hmm.
ancient Rome. Had nothing to do with
which had been celebrated for millennia.
It had been celebrated there and elsewhere. The solstice is an important
yeah.
date in the pagan world because the sun was coming back. Life was returning. It was the end of, not the beginning of the winter, it was the beginning of the end of winter.
And I think that point doesn't deserve to have the word pagan attributed to it necessarily, because, modern folks think of pagan, they think of something negative, but it was just a human thing to do. Around the globe.
It was completely human, and a lot of people do hear the word pagan, and they think Satan or witchcraft.
Right,
it had nothing to do.
Pagan
was an early Christian word
mm-hmm.
that really just meant anybody who wasn't a Christian.
Right.
And so it's a word that has a bad connotation, but there's no doubt that all of these festivities related back to pagan celebrations. In Rome, there was a week-long festival at the solstice called Saturnalia. It was a week of gift-giving, candle-lighting, hanging evergreens in your house. All the things we still do. But there's another important point about the Puritans and Christmas. They saw it as a Catholic holiday. And that was probably even more significant.
That was worse than being a pagan, wasn't it, being a Catholic?
Being Catholic was actually worse than being a heathen or a non-believer, because these were people who had been to war with each other in England and elsewhere in Europe. So that holdover, that hatred, true hatred of all things Catholic, even applied to Christmas. And that's why Christmas really wasn't widely celebrated in America for a long time. It's really not until the early 19th century that waves of immigrants, the Germans, the Italians, the Dutch, the Irish, start to bring more of the accepted Christmas traditions to America.
Right. And of course, then it ultimately became a national holiday. And now Santa Claus is a very important person this time of year. And I've got four grandsons that really dig Santa Claus. Not that I didn't once upon a time. Santa Claus is a big deal. It goes back hundreds of years, doesn't it?
Hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Yeah.
Once again, almost everything about Christmas is interesting. It really combines so many different sources and traditions, and Santa Claus is almost confusing because it mixes together so many traditions. First of all, Saint Nicholas, a legendary person, perhaps a real person. We don't really know a lot about him. Supposedly the archbishop in a part of Turkey in the early Christian period, eventually died, and he dies on December 6th, so that became his feast day. But he was famous for his generosity. He would give gifts to people. He threw coins in the windows of poor girls who couldn't afford a dowry so they wouldn't be forced into prostitution. So his charity and the fact that he died on December 6th connects him to the spirit of generosity and the gift-giving of the wise men going to visit the Christ child. In the Norse world, there was another figure who brought the sun. Again, coming back to the solstice idea,
yeah.
Odin rides across the night sky, bringing the sun with him, riding on an eight-legged horse. And the children would put out their shoes filled with hay and straw for Odin's horse, and Odin would replace the straw with small gifts. These two things eventually got merged together, the Odin figure and St. Nicholas. And when the Dutch come to America, they call St. Nicholas Sinterklaas.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Dutch pronunciation.
Right.
And that's eventually changed into Santa Claus.
And the eight legs become Donner and Blitzen and Rudolph and on.
That's all, much more recent.
Yeah, and they actually do use reindeer to pull sleighs, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen that myself, face-to-face. Stand by.
Lapland, absolutely.
Quick break, 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Ken Davis is our guest. Merry Christmas. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and checking it out, using it to your advantage, and I hope you will. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you subscribe right now, you'll get my In Defense of Scrooge article that I publish every year. So check that out in smallbusinessadvocate.com. smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Ken Davis is our guest. His books are available wherever books are sold, including Don't Know Much About History, and including his new book, America's Hidden History. Ken, I know you got a new one coming out pretty soon. These books are available wherever books are sold, right?
They are in most of the local bookstores, certainly the online booksellers. I have my website, don'tknowmuch.com, where I don't sell the books directly, but I link to the online bookstore.
And how many children's books have you written?
There are about, I've written about 20, and most of them are still in print and still available. And you mentioned don't know much about the pilgrims. There's don't know much about the presidents, which was revised last year for the new president. The idea of my books, Jim, is simple. Take these subjects that we are supposed to learn about in school and have a little fun with them, make them light, humorous, but most of all, make them human and make it a conversation around the dinner table instead of just something that you learn in school and forget after the test is over.
Absolutely, folks. And if you're looking for something really cool to give a young person, especially, get them one of Ken's books. You'll find something that will suit the different ages, all the way up to my age, which is not so young anymore. But you'll find something there that will benefit you. Anything Ken Davis does is top shelf and a really great gift. Ken, let's talk some more about this holiday that we're about to celebrate. As I said, I'm a Christian. This is a big part of my faith life. You're a Christian. I'm sure it is the same thing for you. I know how much this season means to the marketplace. As a consumer society, Christmas is huge. Some retailers make their year in a 3-month period, don't they?
That's absolutely
true. Including right after Christmas. In fact, when I was in retail many decades ago, Ken, we actually had something called the 13th month, which was the week after Christmas. We literally did a month's business the week after Christmas.
Same has always been true in the bookstore business, and I started out before I was a writer working in a bookstore. It is your crunch time. You live for this month. And
but it's gotten out of hand, hasn't it?
It has gotten out of hand. I go back to something we said earlier. People have been saying that for a very, very long time.
I've been saying it for a long time.
Notion that it used to be different, but it's been that way for an awfully long time, and that's why one of my favorite things to do every Christmas, and you can find it easily online, is to go read the original Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus letter, written in the early 20th century by a New York newspaper man to a little girl who wrote a letter to the newspaper in New York and said, my friends tell me there's no Santa Claus. My papa said I should write to the newspaper and ask them. And the journalist wrote the most, I think, beautiful expression of what the season is about, what Santa Claus's real meaning is. So I suggest people go back and look and find the original Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus essay. I think it's at the museum, which is a website of the newspaper museum in Washington, D.C., and you can find it there. It's a wonderful piece.
Well, the thing that we all should do, and I encourage, I'm overlaying this on myself as well, Ken, we should all enjoy this holiday, enjoy the time together, enjoy the gift giving, and help others at the same time, which is part of the Christmas spirit.
Absolutely.
I just want to say quickly that don't just have that spirit at Christmas, because people who need help need it 12 months out of the year.
Absolutely. You're amen to that, brother. Now, the other thing I would say about that is, first of all, while we were talking about St. Nicholas, his fame was for his charity. It wasn't that he gave great gifts, but he was charitable, especially to those who had nothing. And if there's anything else that all of these holidays are about, if we talk about Hanukkah and the miracle of the lights, the Christmas meaning new life at the beginning of and bringing life and light into the world, that's what these holidays are all about.
Yep.
The hope for light and life in a very dark time.
And where there is sunlight.
We've been in dark times, and it's a good thing to recognize that this is what all of these holidays are about.
And where there is sunlight, there's exposure. And where there's exposure, there's truth. And where there's truth, hopefully there can also be tolerance. Ken Davis, thanks for being here. Merry Christmas.
It's always a pleasure, my friend. Very, very Merry Christmas, to you and a Happy New Year.
I know you're on the road today. Safe travels. Got to go for this hour. Just for this hour. I'll be back after the news. One more after this one. I'll see you. Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.